Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to Homeless No More Radio. And we're listening to the beautiful voice of Indy Aries singing the question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Yes, I am, is her answer. And it's a question each one of us has to answer when we see men, women, and children struggling on the streets of your city, sad-faced, pushing shopping carts, dragging their clothes behind them. What do we do? Is there anything we can do when a person is homeless? For sure, we can believe that it's a life lesson for that person or those people or that family, because children are involved in this homeless situation in every city. And so we do need to ask the question, am I my brother's keeper? Am I my niece, nephew's keeper? What can be done? And so this show has been created to offer some solutions for homelessness. We are here today, and my name is Fiata. I am one of your hosts for this Homeless No More Radio, and I have brothers and sisters joining me tonight to help bring some answers to the question, am I my brother's keeper, and what can we do to help the homeless in our community? Tonight, we want to bring forth the question, what does a person do, or how does a person adjust to a new situation when they are no longer homeless? I had a discussion with a friend this evening about what happens when you are offered a room in your relative's house, and how do you adjust to going from homelessness, being out on the streets or being in a shelter, to now living in a room where you are expected to keep that one room clean and limit the amount of possessions that you bring to that new environment. How do you adjust? That can be a big adjustment, even bigger sometimes for those who have been out on the street with their possessions, and now they're asked to make further adjustments to a limited environment, a limited space. What's the answer to that? Let me just offer a few words of consideration and wisdom, is that every time a person is homeless, it is a life lesson. And so what is the Creator asking you to do? What adjustments is the Creator asking you to make to help you move into a lifestyle that is simpler, a lifestyle that is trusting, more trusting than ever, and a lifestyle that helps you maintain your health and avoid being homeless no more? And that's what our whole show is about, a vision to help the homeless build their own homes. Last week we had an amazing man on the show who builds Trek trailers, helps people build homes or builds homes for them. Tiny houses, they're called these days. He's helping people spend less money and not even be in debt and come out with a shelter of sorts. It's a shelter that might be on wheels, but it's a tiny house that can be very comfortable. And it's usually for one person only. It's built on wheels on a tractor trailer platform type. And you can move with that house. As Kirk Bennett is his name, as he explained last week, sometimes the rules are not as clear, or the zoning or the guidelines for living in a homeless trailer are not clear. But if you just don't tell, and if someone does ask you to move, guess what? You've got wheels. You can find a way to move that house to another location. So I think it's the most creative idea to the homeless situation, and it's a solution. There are many solutions to coming out of a homeless state and being homeless no more. And one of them is to talk to other people. Talk to your relatives. Talk to your friends about joining or starting a social capital networking. And our friend L.A. Davis should be on tonight to help you understand what a social capital network is all about. And what that means is you have to start talking to people. You have to start sharing with people your situation and asking them if they'd like to join you in helping you prevent being homeless no more. Because if you're going to prevent being homeless no more, there are adjustments. You have to become more disciplined sometimes, more maybe than you've ever been in your whole life. And so talking to other people, getting suggestions, asking them to join you in your new social capital network, where you don't have to have a mortgage anymore, but you have to have a group of friends who are willing to contribute their earnings, some of their earnings, to help you build a funds where you can either build your own house or find people who are willing to help you build your own house by forming a social network group. So I think we have Brother L.A. Davis just came on the line. And L.A., we're going to ask L.A. to explain what is a social capital network group. So that this is one of the solutions to avoiding homelessness no more. And as I said, you have to talk to other people. You have to find new friends sometimes. But the main thing is connecting and pooling your funds so that you build something to help you invest in other property. So, Brother L.A., are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for joining us tonight on Homeless No More.
Well, a social capital, well, put it this way, everybody, if you have a friend that you're in good standing with, you guys get along, or if you have a relative that you're in good standing with, you get along, if you have a teacher, could anybody human, even animals, if you get along, you have some type of social capital. In other words, you can go to them And it's different people for different things, because no one person can supply all your particular needs and vice versa. So some people, if you need $5, you might have enough social capital to get $5 off them. Some people might have the social capital to get $1,000 or $50,000 from them. Other people, if you need a place to stay for a day, a week, or a month, or a year, you might have social capital. In other words, you guys get along and whatnot. So that's social capital. And social capital is really, it's about relationships. And relationships are more valuable than money, but they can be converted into to some type of monetary value. Like if you're somebody, let's say you go to visit somebody in Timbuktu, okay, and you were childhood friends or college mates with that person from Timbuktu, and you guys got along. Then, so when you went to Timbuktu, let's say if you stayed at the local hotel there, the Hyatt Regency or the Hilton, if they have that there, and it's $100 a night or $200 a night, but they invite you to stay in their home and, you know, eat their food and whatnot. Well, basically, you have a social capital that, you know, instead of spending $100 or $200 a night at a hotel, you have the social capital to stay at their place. I mean, you don't talk about it that way, but that's one example of how you can convert social capital into social finance. So social capital is basically, you know, being able to do things. I mean, your motive is not profit or anything like that. But in a case of if you want to buy a home or a car, get anything financed, you're able to go to these people and you have the social capital. In other words, you two like each other enough, trust each other enough, where you decide, all right, well, instead of going to a bank and with a credit score and a credit sheet and application and all these fees and paying four or five times more on interest, you know, you decide through social capital to finance each other. So it could be whatever you guys decide on. It could be two people, five people, 10 people, 12 people that they all decide to put in the pot, you know, $500, $1,000, whatever they decide on. And what they're doing is they're collectively financing each other until each and every one of those people have their own home and their own debt, and they're all debt free. That's essentially, in this example, how social capital would work. But the opposite word is social.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't, because a lot of people give more power to money, their legal tender, which is issued by the government, which can, you know, just like in Germany. At one time, the Deutschmark was the legal tender of Germany. And one day they decided, well, we're going to switch over to the euro. So at one time, the United States, people were allowed to have gold. And then I think during the FDR administrations or somewhere around there, gold for a period of time was outlawed. So any personal gold that you had was outlawed by the government. You couldn't own it, so you had to turn it in. Now, I mean, you can get back to personal ownership now. But so, but social capital, it doesn't run on anything dealing with the government. So it really, a lot of people have gotten things twisted where they think their money is more valuable than relationships. Because you have a lot of people that are wealthy, but they're lonely. Because they think their money can do everything for them. But it's really the other way around. Social capital, people, relationships, that's the best currency and the most consistent currency on the planet. And the only way it can be devalued is if you abuse that social relationship. It can go up, But, you know, but of course, once you devalue it and abuse it, then you might not be able to rebuild it. So social capital, you can actually, everything's done on the planet has a root in social capital.
So basically,
you're
strengthening your integrity, because you have to do what you say you're going to say you're going to do if these people are going to trust you, right?
Right. Right. Now, depending on the relationships involved, you know, and time is only test with this, is some people like. You know, if you've known somebody 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, you know their faults, they know your faults. You know, if they happen to mess up on something, all right, well, you two have that type of social capital where you can be resilient and keep that relationship going. You can be totally honest with each other. But that type of social capital takes time and experiences to build up with. But you're right. At the outset, it's, you know, the little things. You know, if you're going to say I'm gonna pick you up at to take you to the ball game or to go shopping or whatever, you know, keep no appointment. Those little things like they help build up your social capital.
Great. I see this as a real challenge for someone who's been through a homeless situation to develop, not just develop integrity, but to develop some skills and attitude that they may not have had before they became homeless. Because our Creator is always trying to help us learn lessons. And so if we think about whatever situation or whatever lifestyle we were leading before we came homeless, once we are no longer homeless, like I said in the beginning, if someone offers you a room and they're putting some restrictions on you, you can't have all your things in their house, or you can't bring all your belongings to your new place, then it's really an adjustment that has to be made. And social capital is really like going back to school, wouldn't you say?
You gave a very good example. Somebody allows you into their space, their home, so you can really test that social capital and devalue it if you go in there and eat up all the food in the refrigerator. Things
right.
Like that.
Yeah.
And you got to respect the rules of their house. It's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, that's easy, and for other people, that's very difficult.
And there's going to be a lot of things, a lot of situations and circumstances that are going to be difficult, because you're in a new space, you're in a new place, you're even in a new mindset. You are no longer in that place you were when you were homeless, for sure, where you're trying to figure out where you're going to sleep tonight and is it going to be safe. And then are you going to have enough money? And something as simple as can I get a bus ticket so I can look for a job? So all these challenges are coming up. But what I love about social capital is you're preparing for your future. It takes you to a mindset or an emotional state where you're not so worried about or regretting the past. And you're not as worried about the present, but you're actually starting to plan for your future. Because if you're going to have a social capital group, you have to start thinking, what type of friends do I have? Who can I talk to help develop this social capital, right?
Right. It comes all kind of ways. Because I give you an example. About a couple of years ago, I was up in I got a house in D.C., but I couldn't go there because I had a squat in it. So I was staying with a friend in Baltimore who told me to come on up to his house. So, you know, that was had a roof over my head, kitchen, shower, all that, because I had my limited cash on that trip. So I had that social capital, but now I needed to get from the train station to his house. So I had to walk about 4 or 5 miles. And on the way, now this is the power, this is an example of social capital in a very small way, but it goes a long way. Just the power of nice. I ran across a lady and asked her, you know, which bus to take or whatever, because I had been really walking. And I had to go through some bad neighborhoods to get to his neighborhood. Anyway, but I just had a nice short conversation with the lady, and the lady offered me a bus pass that she wasn't using. She had gotten what she got out, and it was good for 24 hours. So just that's just instantaneous social capital, just the power of nice, because a lot of people don't realize, you know, the power of nice.
Yes.
That helped
the
build
power
social capital.
Yep, power of goodness. And you blessed her because she had to give something that maybe she wasn't even stirred up to do until she met you. And so it just thinking social capital, you have to be creative in your day, as you go about your day. How am I going to meet new people? If I have a need, should I ask someone to help me with that small need? Whether it's small or big, just reaching out to other people who may need to be more giving in their own life and bring to you a blessing, and you bring to them another blessing. So I have Sharon on the line who has been our host, a co-host on this show, and she was in a homeless situation for quite some time. And she's now adjusting to a new situation in her life. And I would like her to share that a little bit. Sharon, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, Sharon has, we were talking earlier about some of the new adjustments. Even though she's not in a homeless shelter anymore, there are now adjustments she needs to make so she can avoid being homeless again. Because that can happen so quickly in anyone's life. I have just talked to so many people over the last few weeks who were homeless, and it's just amazing whether it's a medical bill or a child who's sick, or there's so many ways that people end up without a home, permanent home, or a roof over their head. So when you do finally come out of that situation, then you have to make other adjustments. And as Brother L.A. was saying, sometimes you got to walk 4 or 5 miles. You got to talk to people, and you may need a bus pass. But Sharon, what are some of the new challenges that you're finding? And maybe we can offer our listeners some advice as to how, if they ever are in this situation, how they can overcome it quickly and resolve whatever conflicts come up.
Well, like we talked about before, it was a time where, like, you know, we said that, you know, circumstances and situations happen, you know, some things that you can't control about the situation. But once you get into a situation and you are stable, either whether you stand with a friend or relative or whatever, you know, you just have to adjust. The first adjustment is knowing where you need to go at that point. What is my next step? What do I need to do from here? Okay, I've got a covering now, so what do I do at my next step? So the next thing, if need be and you need a job, then, you know, or going and looking for jobs. If you need help, there is help out there, the Career Source, where they help you with resumes, you know, because you need a one-page resume and need to be done properly, right? Learn how to interview. You know, those are the steps of sitting down, because that's the thing that I had to do. I had to learn how to do a resume, how go to Career Source and say, okay, show me what am I supposed to say. If they ask me this question, then what am I supposed to say? How I'm supposed to present myself? Those are skills that you need to learn first before going to a job, because if you don't have the proper skills to go looking for a decent job, then 9 out of 10, they might not hire you. And if they do, you know, you want to be able to accommodate yourself. Most important thing is to do what you need to do next, the next step. is to doing, you know, if you need an outfit, to go looking for a job. They have a thing called Dress for Success. Career Source can help with that as well. They got the, you know, how do I budget at this point, you know, when I do get a job, what do I need to spend, what I do not need to spend, you know, putting money up for a saving, so that way you can work toward getting whatever it is that you need. I know we spoke one time before about buying houses that just, you know, people just, you know, need to tax. So, and you know, about a house, but if that's something that people need to study, look into, then, you know, if you're working, then you can go and put your money into a savings account. And when you put that money into that savings, it's best if you know you got to save, not to get a check card, not to get checks, none of that. Just put it in there and let it, you know, and take out what you're going to need and then let the rest stack itself. And those are the main most important things, you know, and, you know, where do I go from here? You know, do I get an apartment? Do I get a house? Whatever. But those are the, you know, those are the steps. And just basically thinking about what brought you to that situation. Like I said, some things couldn't be helped, you know. I know a lot of situations that I couldn't help, you know, due to the circumstances. But once those things are over and you get a break, then you need to say, okay, I need to learn with some stability where that I'm going to go from here and how I'm going to get where I need to go. And that's the thing. You need to step-by-step manual, where do I go from there? The other thing we talked about, you know, having someone to adopt one homeless person, and that way that person may have resources and situations that they can tell you, monitor. But sometimes we just need somebody to hold, you know, to help us through. And that is one of the things that we discuss, you know, adopting one homeless person at a time, whether it's, you know, helping them get a bus pass, okay, helping them make phone calls, because a lot of homeless people just do not know how to get from point A to point B. So that's one of the things that would be very important, somebody that does know how to help a person get from point A to point B.
And, you know, and you bring up a topic of adopting a homeless person. I want to elaborate on that a little bit, because adopting a homeless person doesn't mean you bring them into your home, give them a bed, and start feeding them. What we're talking about here is in your social interactions, adopting a homeless person, we're talking about talking to people. If you see someone pushing a shopping cart and it's loaded with clothes and items, then maybe if you're led, stop and talk to that person. Ask them how they're doing today. What's their life like? It's amazing the conversations you can have. We have a place here in Orlando called Lake Eola, and I know that's where a lot of homeless people hang out. And so I have when I have a chance, I love to go walking around Lake Eola. And when I see someone who I know is homeless, I just stop and say, hey, how's it going? And it's just amazing what they start talking about. These people are usually so lonely and so ready to have a conversation that can uplift them. And that's what we mean by adopting a homeless person, is taking the time, or when you see an opportunity, to lift someone up spiritually, emotionally. And maybe if you've got a dollar, if they say, hey, I just need a, you know, I'd love to have a cup of coffee, or I'd like to have a meal, if you have time, maybe take them to a McDonald's. If you don't have time, maybe say, here's, if you've got a dollar in your pocket or some change, I have given change when I have it. I've given a dollar. I've given, and I intentionally, when I was really feeling blessed, I got 5 $1 bills. And I went to Lake Eola, and I walked around that park looking for an opportunity to bless one of the homeless people. And believe me, I was empty-handed by the time I got around the lake. And I felt so good about that, because not only did I give out my money that I was able to give, I had great conversations with people who are educated. Many times, many of the homeless people that I met are so educated and so full of wisdom. And they have just been put into this position for a life lesson. That's really what it is. It's a life lesson. And I have walked away sometimes with a tear in my eye, because I was so moved by what these people shared with me and what they were telling me about their experience and then giving me some wisdom and knowledge that I didn't even have. But here I am getting wisdom and knowledge from someone who doesn't have a home and who sleeps in the park or sleeps in an abandoned building. I'm telling you, you will be blessed if you take the time. And as Brother L.A. said, just showing some compassion, just showing some goodness, just showing some kindness, you will be blessed, and that person will be blessed, and that you may be the one person that they needed to speak to give them some hope, to make them know, to help them know that you're not going to be this way forever, that this may be a temporary lesson for you, but you can come out of this. Just give them whatever gift you have to give, and everybody's different. Maybe you can't have a carry on a conversation with a homeless person for long. Maybe you just don't want to talk, like to talk. But maybe you just ask them, is there anything I can do for you today? They'll let you know. It might just be to, as I said, to have give your smile is what they needed. They might want to just you to listen to them. Maybe you don't even have to talk to them. But we can really make a difference in our cities if we just adopt a homeless person and take the time to talk to them, to connect with them, and to integrate your experience with their experience and be blessed to find out what's going on in their life and what wisdom is locked up in those people. These are human beings, and some of them have families. And so Sharon and I were talking earlier about another aspect of homelessness is giving up things. When you do find that you are in a home where someone's giving you a room or someplace to stay, sometimes you're trying to figure out, well, what am I going to do with all my belongings when I don't have enough room? Sharon, you experienced this, and how did you resolve that issue?
Well, I just put my stuff in the storage and, you know, have what I need, you know, where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. And, now what if someone doesn't have money for storage, though?
Well, that's the thing. You know, hopefully wherever they are, you know, a lot of times I see a lot of people pushing their things around. Hopefully wherever they are, someone has a garage, they can store it there. And, you know, right now I don't have a solution to what they could do with it if they don't have a place to store their things and don't have the money for storage.
Well, I was thinking about that after our conversation, and sometimes I think we have to really think about just giving up everything we have. And I know this might seem hard for some people, but when you're starting over from a homeless situation, it's like you ask yourself, what do I really need now? What do I really need? I need the clothes on my back because I don't want to be walking around naked. And I need to have some, maybe a change of clothes if I have a job, so that at least if I can wash one set of clothes and go and wear the other, at least they're clean. So I think the question is, and if you're listening, I would really like you to think about this, and if you have a comment, if you're on the line or if you are on the phone line or you're listening, what do you give up when you don't have the room to keep your stuff? When you're in a situation where someone has offered you a room, but they say, but I'm sorry, you can't bring all your stuff in my house, but I'll give you a roof over your head, I'll give you a bed, I'll give you a bath, you can have a bath every day. What do you give up? You got a shopping cart full of stuff that you've collected, and the question would be, what can I do without? I think that's what a person who's starting over has to consider, because now you are establishing what is really important. What are your values? That's what I'm thinking. What's important in your life? What are your priorities now? You've been homeless. You've been sleeping in empty buildings. You've been in a shelter that really sucks. And you've seen all the horrible things that are going on in people's lives, on drugs or whatever. And then the Creator blesses you with a roof over your head and a place to stay. And then maybe sometimes you don't even have to pay for it. Someone is nice enough to say, I'm going to help you out. I want you to start over again. I want you to start fresh, but I'm only going to give you one room. And just think of this as a messenger or an angel coming to you, or even the creator coming to you and saying, I'm going to help you out here. I'm going to give you another chance. Your lesson's over, but now your new lesson is this. You got one room, and you cannot fill it with all your old stuff. You're going to have to get rid of some of your old stuff and start thinking about priorities, different priorities, setting different, having different values. But now you're thinking social capital. Okay, that's a priority because I don't want to be homeless again, so I better find new friends. And I need to start saving money wherever I can find a job. So what are your priorities in that situation when you are given an opportunity to start over? I mean, you don't have a lot of space to store your stuff.
And well, the main thing you want to do.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I was saying the main thing you want to do is make sure you have at least, you know, some changing clothes. That you have
right.
Your most important things, your important papers like birth certificate, identification, you know, all of those very, very important things. Those are the things that you want to start out, and those are the things that you want to keep with you at all times.
And so that doesn't take up a lot of space.
No, because you might just
you
have
name.
To have one little suitcase and, you know, and stuff like that. So if you get new clothes, you might just have to give up the older ones and start out with some new ones. So, it, you know, it depends. But you got a week worth of clothes, and you just wash and wear.
And isn't it a real act of faith to believe that my Creator will supply all my needs? If I need a new outfit, I'm going to get it. I don't know. And you may not know where. You give up all your stuff. And you're left with two changes of clothing, or three maybe. And then all of a sudden you realize you don't have a whole lot of stuff anymore. And that's when, don't you believe, Sharon? I know you. Sharon has a strong faith. I've heard her speak about faith for many years. And then you have to, just to have peace, because you don't want to get thrown out of your one room. You want to have a good relationship with that person who has offered their home to you. So you have to really start prioritizing and keep the peace in that place. And if all they're asking you to do is just say keep the room not cluttered and don't bring all your stuff in, then giving up all your stuff, you have to have the faith that it will be replaced. And don't you think the Creator is pleased with that? When you detach from everything that you've held on to and that you thought was of value, but yet it hasn't really helped you in so many ways. So
mm-hmm.
Does anybody else feel that way, that your stuff, you really, even being homeless is almost a blessing in that sense, because it forces you to prioritize your life. It forces you to adopt new ways of doing things, new social capital way, that's one way, and something new, a new education. And then it forces you to reach out to other people for help, that which you may not have been doing. So all of those things, is there anyone who's starting to see the blessing in homelessness and how it forces us to give up the things that we think are valuable and important? But when you end up with no home, the Creator is trying to really say, God, change your way of thinking. Time to prioritize and give up some things even. Because I know in my line of work, I'm in homes where they're filled with worthless things. Because you know why? Because there's dust on them. I go into a house to clean, and the items that have the most dust are things that do not get used. And so I get a little frustrated that people have so many items, idols I call them sometimes, in their house that are just there for show. They fill these houses with all these trinkets and even excess furniture, and it gets dusty. So why is it that we are holding on to things that are collecting dust? What is it in us are about us that we think we have to hold on to so many material things. And then when we're homeless, we're crying, you know, that we wish we had more. But, you know, it's a question I'm asking. It's not something that, you know, I'm saying we all have to feel this way, but do you ever consider that when you look at the homeless, how little they have, and yet some of them that I have found are so peaceful. They're so, especially at Lake Eola. I mean, you couldn't have a better place to be homeless than Lake Eola in Florida, where it's not below zero. I'm sure the homeless in Chicago are not happy at all, especially if they don't have a shelter. But here in Florida, I meet some fairly peaceful homeless people at Lake Eola. They're playing their guitars. They're sitting by the lake, or they're feeding the ducks. And life is pretty good for them. They're not complaining. And you have some of us who are in these big houses and have it's filled with things, cluttered to the max, and they're complaining. So that's one of the things we can surely say about being homeless is that no more complaining, and guess what? It's a new life. We have a caller from 920-47. Oh, Sharon, is that you?
Mm-mm.
No. We have a caller, 920-471. You're on the air. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
You don't recognize my number yet. This is Jasmine.
Oh, I didn't recognize your number. You know, I have two numbers similar to yours, so that's why. Give us your name, dear.
One is 902, I think, and one is 920, but I would rather be called as your servant. And I want to give you a different perspective on homelessness. Homelessness is not always about the homeless person. It's about the people who have and won't help the homeless. This is the spiritual part of it. It's not about those homeless people going to survive. And to tell you the truth, when the chips fall, I'm going to grab a hold of a homeless person so they can show me how they made it. You see what I'm saying? We got versus being, God is putting us, the ones who have to attest. Those people already been tested. They've lost everything. The other side of the coin is the ones who have one person sleeping in a five-bedroom house. That's selfishness to me. And you can screen the people that you bring into your home. You don't have to go get the worst camper in the camp. You can go and say, what was your background? I'm offering a place for you to stay till you can get on your feet. And I mean, crack down on them if you don't feel comfortable. Men, they can go toe-to-toe with a woman or somebody like that. And the men who take in women shouldn't look for sexual favors because I've seen that on Craigslist. Yeah, I've got a wonderful place for you to come and stay, but I want you to be a partner. Well, that's you might as well go get a person on the street who's selling themselves. That woman wants her a place for her and her children, and she don't want you breathing down her throat or breathing in her bed. So we got to look at it on the other end of the spectrum. I believe that homelessness today is to teach the have how to help the have. That's perspective I want to share tonight because people who have it's only a one chance away from them being that person. They're only a company closing away. Somebody's trying to come offer something from what I'm saying because this is a different perspective to look at other than saying these people failed or whatever like that. The economy is making them fail. Some of these things that why people are homeless is because our government, this government has failed these people. They told them to go buy a home when they know they didn't have the money to pay for that home, and now they're calling in the loans on those homes with enormous interest rates on these homes. They were set up to lose that home. You know, give them home and then give them a fixed income. And then when they say you don't have to pay interest for 2 years, and then they compound the interest in the third year, hoping that you barely pay the mortgage for 2 years, and how they gonna compound the interest by letting you skate for 2 years, and because they want the home and your money, so you're out of the street. Some people are homeless because they're running away from abuse. Teenagers, that's what you find on the street now. Teenagers running away from abuse, and they can't stay in the home anymore. There's all type of homelessness out there on that street. People in Florida, I know I've met at least five people, including myself, where people say, come, live, we'll love you, we'll treat you right. And when you get to the place, it's a whole different story. So you can't, mm-hmm. these people out there on that street are not out there because they're worthless or they don't want to work or they don't have any kind of goals. They trusted someone. That's the word. They trusted someone. They were in another state doing bad. Those people lured them here, and all those people who lured them here wanted was that dollar. They could care less about helping that friend. So I've met at least five people that said, oh, my aunt told me, and some of these people are these people's family. My aunt told me to move here. And then when they get here, the people strung out on drugs, barely holding on to the little apartment or home that they have. We don't give them the whole store. I met five people like that in the past 3 months. And I said, how you got here? I was at the Greyhound, just going to transfer a voucher that I was given. And I met people there, and they told me that's what happened to them. I used to do our ministry out on the street and see people, and I'd stop and talk with them and give dollars just like you do, sis. And I'm glad you take that money and have it in a special place when you're giving it out, because you should never go into your main source of money and give out that money on the street. So someone should chime in on the different perspective. This is about half holding on and being totally selfish. That's what I see it as. Or they don't want them to come into their own environment because there's some weird stuff going on in their homes that they don't want anybody to know about. So I'm not going to say all of them are selfish. But we got to look at it from a different perspective. It's not just about the homeless person learning the message. It's about the people who have that should open up their heart. I don't know if you know, but Steve Harvey was here in Florida. And a Caucasian couple took Steve Harvey in, and they had that Caucasian couple on the show. And Steve Harvey was forever dedicated to that man, to the man and his wife. It was a husband and a wife that took Steve Harvey in when he was homeless here in Florida. And they had a program about how those people just saw Steve Harvey under a bridge or something and took him in, trusted him. So all I could say is the haves need to. This is a lesson for them also. That's all I have to say, sis. I'll be listening in and going back and forth to the other show until that show ends, but I will come back before you end this broadcast. You going to be on till 10 tonight?
No, actually, the show is scheduled for till 9. Sometimes we go a little bit over, but we'll be here till probably a little after 9. But thank you so much. Thank you for that perspective. And I think what the sister just shared with us is that this is a complex issue, homelessness. There is no one solution. There is no one purpose for all this. There are so many aspects to see about homelessness, so many lessons to learn. And just as she said, the lesson is just as much for the haves as the have-nots. Because I think that's why I am so moved when I do learn more about what people, homeless people, are thinking, how they got there, what their hopes and dreams are, what their present situation, what their present emotions are like. I felt so blessed when I talked to these people who are in this situation. There's so many lessons to learn. And that's why social capital is so important. Because part of the problem in being homeless is, like she said, you're depending on the wrong sources. You're so into the grid system of electricity, of banking, of mortgages, of governments, that you have to disconnect if you want to prevent homelessness. You have to renew your mind if you want to prevent homelessness. There are so many aspects to being in this situation that it requires you becoming more educated and more enlightened and more on top of your own situation and what you can do to change it. So Brother L.A. offered one suggestion tonight, social capital. He went into what you need to do to develop your own social capital network group, making friends, saving money, and re-educating yourself about your priorities and what you need to do to buy your own home without a bank, without a mortgage, without a loan, and really help others to do the same. That's what social capital is about, and we believe in that as a solution. Building your own home, growing your own food, that those are the keys to ending your homeless situation and preventing homelessness in the future. So we still have a few minutes left, but Sharon, did you have any other comments you wanted to bring into the discussion today?
No, I'm pretty much about through into next week.
Well, Sharon, you have a new job, though. You have a new job. Can you tell us briefly? That's exciting for people to know that even after your long period of homelessness, you have a new job, which is you're working in a field that you actually trained for, right?
Yes, it's a culinary field. I'm working at SeaWorld as a prep cook. And I actually went to culinary last year, graduated. And so I'm, you know, working as a prep cook now until I can get over into to my desired field, which is the bacon.
I mean, SeaWorld employs a lot of people. So that is a great opportunity to develop some social capital. You are going to be, I'm sure you've already met new people, new friends. And so do you see the opportunity there to start networking and sharing with people about social capital and what, has that opportunity come up, or are you still kind of a newbie on the block?
Well, the things I have, you know, talking about my business and, you know, people are ordering my products and I'm, you know, excited about that. Letting people know what else I do outside of work. And a lot of people are, you know, catering to what I do. And that makes it, you know, very exciting. So I get to share what I do outside of my work, inside of the work.
Mm-hmm. Great, great. That's what it's all about, talking to your coworkers, talking to people on the bus. And that's what, you know, I have a friend who rides the bus all the time in Miami, and she makes so many friends and acquaintances just riding the bus because she's very talkative and very friendly. And so that's where you have an opportunity to start developing your social network capital group. So don't be afraid. Talk to everybody when you have an opportunity, and people who want to listen and you can have good conversations. But that's where it starts. So we're here every week at this time to give suggestions. We're going to have interviewing more people, not just who are homeless, but we're going to be interviewing people who are experts, like last week when we had Kirk on, who's a tiny home builder. We learned, so if you missed that show, you should really go back in our archives and listen to the show on building tiny houses. Kirk was just amazing with his information and suggestions and knowledge, and gave us all kinds of ideas from what it costs to build a tiny house and what you can do and how to be smart about putting your house on wheels. There was just a wealth of information on that show last week. And so please take the time to listen if you didn't. And if you have anyone that you know is homeless, send them to the show every week, and so we can encourage him, and they can ask questions, and we can give them some ideas and just build them up. And in your city, wherever you are, take the time, please, to go out in your neighborhoods and talk to people, encourage people, adopt a homeless person by just befriending them and seeing where their life has brought, what their life has been about up to this point, because you will learn so much when you talk to them and learn how they got where they are. And it will teach the haves how to prevent homelessness, and it will help you to share with others how they can prevent homelessness. So if there are no more comments or questions, we're going to say goodnight and wish you all a blessed weekend and come back next week. And this Sunday, we're going to have a very important show on this Sunday about rethinking military service, because that is one area, veterans who are homeless all over this country. And we're going to be continuing our blog talk wisdom and conversations about homelessness as well. We're going to be talking Sunday about rethinking military service in a system that is totally dysfunctional. The amount of rape that goes on in the military is at epidemic proportions, and the number of homeless veterans is at a ridiculous amount, considering these men and women made a choice to serve their country. Their belief was all about protecting us for our freedoms. And what they're getting, you're going to hear an amazing story about a young woman who was murdered over in Iraq, and the government is saying, oh, well, she's committed suicide. And we're going to talk, it's a very serious issue in our country, about whether we should even be involved in military service, because the treatment that our veterans receive when they come home is like dirt. You are not worth the skin that you're occupying. So don't miss that show on Sunday. We want you to hear your comments. If you have friends who are veterans, we're going to bring some healing and purpose to their lives. And you, and I think, will be blessed as well, because I'm hearing a lot from the heavens about what our role is now that we have all this knowledge about veterans and the harm that our government has done to our veterans, putting them on psychedelic drugs and so forth. So we want to bring a healing and solutions, not just to homelessness, but the people who are struggling with PTSD and veterans. We want to help them understand what our role is, especially from a universe perspective. So thank you. Spread the word. And be there on Sunday, and then come back next week and join us for more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding about your neighbors who are out on the street, homeless, and those who have recovered, how they can stay homeless no more. Have a great weekend, and here's a little bit more of Am I My Brother's Keeper as we say goodnight. Shalom.
Good night.